We're so happy to be with you here this evening. We are John and Priscilla Kunkel, missionaries with World Gospel Mission on the Texas-Mexico border. And we are privileged that God has called us to do his work and share his love with people. We want to see lives saved and lives transformed for the honor and glory of God. We want to see people who will surrender their all to the Lord Jesus Christ, and who will go forward and disciple other believers. How many of you remember when we were here back in 2015? Do you remember us at all? Okay, there are a few. I feel like it's important for me to explain a little bit of the transition that we've experienced on the Texas-Mexico border. When we came in 2015, I was teaching high school at the Taylor Christian School, and the school was there. The school had been there. It began in 1948, and it was there for 74 years, teaching kids about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ and helping them to understand what it meant to live a Christian life. So when we came before, I was teaching in that high school. After that, during the year of 2020, we experienced a big struggle, as many of you did. Right before we opened school that fall, several families pulled their children out just a week before classes began, and it became impossible to function that year. We turned the ministry around, began an e-camp where students could come in and do their studies from whatever school they were going to there on our campus, and we could monitor them, help their parents so their parents could go to work. Some of those kids did not know Jesus. Some of those kids, through the Bible classes that year, came to know Jesus for the very first time. And so we praise God for what happened even during that year. We felt that the school should reopen because we believe in a Christian education. We believe that children should know about Jesus and grow in their knowledge of God. And so we made an effort to recruit teachers, recruit sponsorships, and recruit students through that next year. But when it came time to open school in the fall of 2021, we began school with only 7 students. And those 7 students experienced a wonderful year. However, we knew that God was telling us that there was something more that he wanted us to do on the border besides operate a Christian school, that he had other things, he had bigger things and different things in mind for us. And so we prayed and we sought his face, and he gave us a compelling vision to begin the Taylor Transformation Project, to complete the buildings that we already had for the ministries that he would give. We had this big gymnasium that was the Taylor Community Center. The front building there, the E-shaped building, was the Taylor Christian School. The school was using both buildings for many years after the community center was established. However, the community center was not operating in full capacity. The entire upstairs was unused. So we stepped forward in faith. We took the first step and began fundraising. And God stepped in and supplied all of the money, the motivation, the prayer support, the workers, and everything that we needed to complete that renovation, completely fund it, and completely finish it in 3 years. And I have this note that I saw in my Bible here. During one of our meetings, I had written this verse after one of our leadership meetings. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." And God did what we thought was impossible, and he created amazing space to do transformative ministry. We knew that God was promising us that if we would do our part in transforming our buildings, then he would do his part in filling those buildings with transformative ministry so that lives could be transformed for his honor and glory. And that is exactly what he's done. We are so thankful that we see now through prayer, through partnerships, and through discipleship that God is working and transforming lives on the Texas-Mexico border.
Good evening. We shared this morning a little bit about our background and our history as missionary kids growing up on the mission field. And God has been working in our lives over the last several years. We were formerly assigned to work in Bolivia, South America, with the Wings of Peace ministry. Then God began leading us back from that to work in Laredo, Texas, where we served as pastors of a small 3CU church there. And then the Lord began to work on our hearts again. And in 2014, we felt God leading us to work in McAllen, Texas, where we were to assist Jorge and Laura Vaca, who were there leading the field. Jorge was overwhelmed with the maintenance of the field facilities. And as a former pilot and airplane mechanic, I felt God wanted me to use some of my gifts in that area, not in airplanes, of course, but in maintenance, to try to help Jorge Vaca in his work and relieve him of that, because he was also the field director at that time. Our ministry has been transitioning over the last few years as we have seen the school there slowly decline. Even throughout all of our efforts, we had scholarships, we had sponsorships for the kids, but for some reason, the Lord began moving us in a different direction. And now we are using those sponsorships that were raised to help other children and some of our former students as they go on to other Christian schools. So that money is still being used for God's kingdom. One of the things that we have really been working hard on the field is to bring unity to our staff. We have 14 missionaries serving there now, and we have several missionary kids as well. And so we feel that without unity, we can't provide a clear image of who God is. We can't provide a clear image of who Jesus is if we can't be unified ourselves. And so we begin prayer meetings. We begin times of worship together. We begin foot washing ceremonies with each other. We had several times where we just prayed, seeking God's guidance and His path that He wanted us to take. We also saw a need to help the pastors and those churches in the community that were struggling through the pandemic and not really knowing how to recover from that. And so one of our missionaries, Kurt Zimmerman, began a small prayer time with our pastors of different churches in the community from different denominations. And it's just a time to get together and help each other in prayer, support each other. And I, as a side note, I just want to encourage you, if you are having trouble in your, if you're having a time where you just don't feel God moving or seeing Him do things in your church, what would be the problem of uniting with others and helping others in their time of need, helping others in prayer and uniting with other pastors and Christians, even outside of your church fellowship? I think it's a wonderful thing that God has been doing in our lives, because He's helping us to see that the kingdom of God is not just about our little group. It is about the work of God all around us and all around the world. This is the early picture of one of our meetings that we have. And we have out of that, the result being that many of the churches are now working together. Through the community center, we have over 10 churches that are working together to provide needs for the community in different ways. Some of the churches go across the border and serve the immigrants who are coming up to the border from Honduras and even from Haiti. And so those churches have ministries already established, and we are joining them and providing a channel for work teams to go and also do ministry there as well. Out of that time of prayer, we also have established a ministry for the youth in our community. Out of the pandemic, we saw that the youth in our community were depressed, they were lonely, they were stuck in their homes, they were wandering the streets, and the youth groups were just floundering in their ministries and not having a purpose. And so God began to lay on our hearts, all of the pastors uniting and saying, we want to have a joint time of prayer and worship and a time where the children or the youth, teenagers can come and just rejoice in the Lord and become one as the body of Christ. And so every 2 months we have a youth in locomotion, which is a time that they can just celebrate God and have a wonderful time of sharing together in that gymnasium there. We also have connections with other ministries, and one of those ministries is the Pregnancy Resource Center of the Valley there on the Texas-Mexico border. And it is a ministry that's organized by another organization, but that is the purpose of reaching young ladies who are trying to make a crisis decision in their lives about whether to keep the baby or not. And we see that this ministry is a vital part of reaching out to the community there, because many times the young ladies are afraid, they're ashamed, they're not able to go and approach even a pastor, but they can come to this facility and feel love and feel acceptance and find a way to save the baby and maybe adopt or offer up for adoption, and to just have another alternative for life. The basketball camp that was held in these last 4 weeks was a success for us. It was the first time that we tried this, but because of the air conditioning that we now have in the gym, we have opportunities to do work throughout the summer in the 105, 110 degree heat throughout the summer. And so it's amazing that God is using that wonderful gift that he's given us in the Taylor Transformation Project to be able to bless the community in that way. During the summer, as you know, it gets very hot on the border, and it's very hard for us to operate sometimes because we just feel like we're overwhelmed with the heat. We get stuck in our homes, and we just, at night, even it's hot. And so now having this air-conditioned facility, we can operate throughout the whole day and feel God, see God moving in different ways in that. The Soccer Lions Academy was also a ministry that has been established over the years, and it's growing. It's also expanding into, they're hoping to start a league there in the city. So they've got some great plans, but the purpose is to share the gospel in a real way, with the kids, his redeeming power and love for their lives. And so we ask that you pray for the missionaries, Jorge Vaca and Gerson Tejeda, as they work with the Soccer Lions Academy. They love the kids. They work with them in training, but they also share their compassion and help in showing the families that God is love. Gerson Tejeda's wife, Betsy, has also started a ministry and has been ongoing over the years and growing, and now is established in where the old Taylor Christian School was operating. But this ministry is to help the community people there who are in need of clothing or other items, and it's a physical way that we can show God's love. But also in spiritual terms, we help the people. They pray with the ladies that come in. There's a children's Bible club hour that they share together. And so it's a wonderful time that we can reach families who are in need. Priscilla and Christina McBride work with the children during that time, and I've been teaching them in the Bible lessons. The question is, what is God calling you to do? We asked that this morning, and I typed out a little bit more information about what we're thinking in that question. So Priscilla's going to talk to you about that.
Well, as Steve DeBurr told you just a few minutes ago, one of the best things that you can do is to pray for us. And I mentioned that also this morning. If you want to get out your piece of paper and pen, I will give you a few prayer requests that you can pray for us on the Texas-Mexico border. As I mentioned also this morning, I have a list over there that you can sign up to pray for specifically the Women's Conference that is coming up on July 22nd. And the Children's Day that will be operating at the same time. Please pray for the workers and for the ones who will be attending, that God would touch and change their lives. The Women's Conference and Kids Event on July 22nd. Also, please remember to pray for our needs for a maintenance worker. John was working in maintenance, and we really need someone there on the grounds that will help. Maintenance is very expensive, and we don't have anyone there that can do that full time at this time. Also, please pray for the health of our missionaries. Specifically, pray for our missionary Colby Grindine, who had two heart attacks this spring, and he is the director of our Immigrant Connection in the Valley, our Gospel Martial Arts Union. He's our work team coordinator. He is an awesome worker, and we love him and his wife very much, and we want to keep them around. Please pray for Colby and his wife, Kim. There are two very up-to-date prayer requests. I told you the story of Lisa this morning, this wonderful woman who we've made contact with through the Pregnancy Resource Center, who brought her sister to Christ. I received a message today that she is currently in a lot of pain and looking to get a doctor's appointment. I don't know any details, but please pray for Lisa. And there's one more here. I'm not sure what that was, but please continue to pray for us as we travel. Pray for our safety on the roads and also for our support that we'll be raising over the next year. We would love for you to join our team of supporters. You can pray for us, pick up our prayer card that's over on the table, fill out the back, tell us that you're praying for us. We will be needing to raise over $1,000 in monthly support in order to return to the field. So you can commit to a pledge of any amount that God asks you to pledge. You can do that. You can give either by check here at the camp. You can give online. You can send it to World Gospel Mission. And there are many options. They're all, the address is right here on the card. You can also give to any of the projects of the Taylor Community Center. They're listed here on the back. The Soccer Lines Academy, Sparrow's Nest Immigrant Connection, or the Parking Lot Fund, or the General Fund. We are so excited about what God is doing. He has provided in every way, and we know that He will continue providing to see that His work is done. Do you want to be one of those people that He is using to see work go forward on the border? Would you consider answering His call to give, to pray, or to come to the border and see the work firsthand and get involved? We've had family groups come down. We had a group come from Alaska, and one of the ladies had, I think, a two-week-old baby. That baby was so small. But we have had babies on our field. So we welcome families, and we are excited to, we'd be excited to talk to you about opportunities to come to the border and serve the Lord. So thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you all tonight.
It's also their field, and so they take that very seriously, and I'm very proud of them. They're both rock stars. Thank you so much. So I have a question. Did you ever have an itch that you could not get to go away? Oh, it's so frustrating, right? So maybe you scratch it and it doesn't go away. Maybe you can't reach it. I know I had two broken legs when we had our auto accident, and I had casts on both legs. And when your leg itch, you cannot get to it to scratch it, right? And I was not one of those to, like, take a hanger and go down. No, I didn't do that, but I just suffered with it. Wayne had chicken pox so bad when he was in the third grade, I think. We tried everything. He was miserable. Nothing would solve his itch at all. We tried the baths. We tried Benadryl, Calamine, all of the stuff. Nothing worked. He ended up in the ER, and they had to sedate him because the itch so bad. So sometimes we have an itch, and we can't scratch it. Or sometimes we scratch it, and it doesn't go away, right? So missionaries sometimes come across people who have an itch. And so you come to Taylor County Camp, you hear missionaries speak, and you have an itch, a missionary itch. And so the missionaries ask you to pray, so you pray, and the itch subsides, and you're good. But for some, that's not enough. The itch is still there, right? And so then the missionary says, give. And so you give. And for most, the itch is solved, and you're good for another year. But for some, the itch is still there, the missionary itch. And then the missionary says, go. And so you go. And the itch gets worse. The missionary itch gets worse. Why? What do we call that itch in my world? A calling. We call it a calling. God is asking you to do more. And so this week, some of you will pray and you'll be good. But some of you, God's doing a bigger work. And one thing that we have found as we work with missionaries on their homeland ministry assignment, that God's doing something very cool. And what that thing is that God is not only... Oh, where's the clicker? I just realized, hey, I have a slide. All right. Welcome, Anthony. So anyway, what I was saying is God's doing something very cool. And here's what it is. Not only is God sending the called, he's also calling the senders. Now, who are the senders? Well, we are. Anyone that doesn't go to the field. In my position, I'm considered a sender. I'm sending the missionaries out. But God's also calling the senders. And it's been a very cool thing to watch develop. So, here's a really cool story in the Bible about senders. And this is thank you to Miss Carol over here. We talked about this a couple of trainings ago. 1 Samuel 30. Let me set up what's happening here. David and his men have gone to war. And they come back, and their place has been raided. The Amalekites have stolen everything. They've even taken away the women and the children and all of the goods and burned the place down. So they're going to go after him, right? After they cried for several days and mourned, right? Then they're like, okay, we got to go. We got to do something about this. But they didn't all go. There were 600, 400 went, 200 stayed. And so here when they came back, the people that came back said, well, we're not going to divide all of the plunder among the people who didn't go because they don't deserve it. They didn't go. They can have their wives and their children back. That was pretty generous of them, right? But they said they don't get the plunder. But David said, no. Here's what he said. The share of the men who stayed with the supplies is to be the same. Is to be the same as of him who went down for battle, and all will share alike. David made this the statute and ordinance in Israel from that day to this. And I believe that it's still true today. This principle still applies. The senders get the same blessing as those who go. And so it's been very cool to see that and to see what God is doing. So what if I said to you that you could serve with WGM and with a missionary and never leave your home, and never leave your state. Because what we're finding is that God is using people on missionary teams to do some of the work of the missionary while they're on HMA, and then after they go back to the field. And it's been very cool to watch. So, here's the thing. Here's some of the things that people are already doing. Already these missionaries have teams of people that they put together when they're on HMA, and they're helping with things like social media. So if you have a gift, in that area, social media, some people are on Facebook and other social media probably more than they should be. So use some of that time to help a missionary, right? If you have writing skills, we have writing communications coordinators. If you have the gift of hospitality, you could be a small group host and invite a group of people to come into your home and hear a missionary speak. If you love to pray, you could be a prayer team coordinator and help the missionary be the person that the missionary says, here's our request, and then you contact the rest of the prayer team and tell them to get praying. These are things that people are already doing on ministry teams as senders. And so here's the thing. What's God asking you to do today? All of us senders, let's send the way God wants us to send. Maybe he's asking you to say yes to a ministry position with World Gospel Mission. So, I'm not trying to change anything here, Dr. Schaefer, but we are seeing God move in this way with our missionaries on HMA, that you can pray, you can give, you can go, but you can also serve. And I really want to challenge you, if God is nudging at your heart to serve, that here's what I want you to do. We have to have a call to action, right? There's a WGM envelope that's in front of your pew there. Some of you have used it for offering. That's great. Continue to do that. But if you're interested in the sending part and the ministry position part, if you would fill this in and across the top or across the bottom there, write sender, that you're a sender, and then give this to me or put it in the offering plate and they'll make sure that it gets to me. And we will get you to work in missions while you're here in the States. Amen.
Here we're focusing on God alone.
Porque aquí nos tomamos el tiempo para escuchar a Dios.
Because we're taking time to listen to what he has to say.
Y si a ti en estos días te ha hablado Dios en algo.
And if you're here and in these days God has talked to you about something.
Algo que necesitas o algo que necesitas dejar.
Something that you need or something that you need to leave.
Este tiempo es el perfecto.
This is a perfect time to do it.
Hoy puedes venir a Dios y dejar todo lo que tú tienes.
Today you can come here and leave everything that you have.
Si tu mochila ha estado cargado de cosas que no edifican.
If your backpack's filled with things that aren't building you up.
Si tu mochila ha estado cargada de preocupaciones.
If your backpack's filled with worry.
De miedos.
With fear.
O de pecados.
Or sin.
Hoy puedes venir a Dios.
Today you can come to God.
Dios está con sus brazos abiertos esperando.
He's right here with his arms open wide.
Él quiere que vacíes esa mochila para poder llenarte de algo nuevo.
And he wants you to empty that backpack so that he can fill it with something new.
Él no puede poner algo nuevo donde hay algo que no sirve.
He can't put it, something new there where there's something that doesn't serve you for anything.
Necesitamos ser vaciados para que el Señor nos llene.
We need to empty ourselves so that he can fill us.
Entonces, si hay alguien que quiere ir a Dios hoy.
So if there's someone here that wants to come before God today.
Hay un altar bien grande aquí.
There's a big altar right here.
Un altar tan grande. Dios está aquí esperando.
A big altar where God is waiting for you.
Voy a dejar el lugar a un orador.
I'm gonna...
Yo no soy orador, soy misionero.
I'm gonna leave the microphone for
Pero sé que aquí hay hombres de Dios.
We'd like to minister to these individuals.
Aquí hay hombres que conocen mucho de Dios, de la Biblia.
I know that there are lots of men here that know a lot about the Bible.
Aquí hay hombres que pueden orar por ti.
And there are men here that can pray for you.
Entonces, no te vayas esta semana, no te vayas como vienes.
So don't leave here as you came.
Entrega a Dios esa carga que tú traes.
Give God the burden that you're carrying.
Amen.
Give it to him.
Yes.
So that he can fill you and you can be used.
Lord,
here,
yes,
or on the mission field.
To your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey when your spirit speaks.
It is a huge, huge city. I don't know what the population is of Atlanta, but does anybody know off the top of your head? 3 million? Okay, you guys can hear yourselves. I can't hear you. But the metropolis area of Monterey, there's 23 million people. And it's big. And there are lots of areas that need lots of help. And I'm thankful that there are several Christian churches, evangelical churches, working in the area. In our town, in our neighborhood, there are hundreds of homes. If you were here this afternoon and saw a quick glimpse of our city, you could see those little white dots and their houses, lots of houses. And in those homes, for the most part, are families that are broken, families that don't know Christ and need to hear the good news, need to meet Jesus, need to meet truth, and hopefully begin to live it. And we've had the privilege of starting a Bible club. We call it Taco Tuesday, which is why there's the taco over there to put your bottle caps in. And I wanted to share with you before Efrain shares from the Word, about one lady. There is a lady. She came to me with the desire to work with children. She said, "Chrissy, I really want to work with kids. I love them. I think it'll be a wonderful ministry." And I said, "That's great. We need people to come and help us with this ministry, and you'll be able to help with teaching and serving and doing so many other things." Well, Elizabeth is her name. She came that first day of Bible club, and she was so afraid of the children, she did not leave my kitchen. She would kind of look out the window a little bit, and she's like, I can't go out there. And we just waited to see what God would do. Elizabeth was very, very shy, and I hope this goes along with Ephraim's message this evening, but she had to get over that shyness. The following week, she was able to step out the front door and be in the same patio area with the kids. She even brought out a tray of sandwiches and fed them. A couple weeks later, she was there doing the hand motions for the songs, just moving in a little bit at a time. A couple of months into Bible club, I approached Elizabeth and I said, "You know, we're going to be leaving at the end of February, and we're going to need teachers." And she just looked at me, kind of like deer eyes. You're not going to ask me, are you? I said, "Elizabeth, I think it's time for you to try to teach the class." And she, "I don't know if I can do that." She had the materials, and I said, "You have 2 weeks. This week you can go home, you can read over all the materials, study it, and work on how you want to present your lesson. What does God tell you to do to share the good news that's in that lesson?" And so she went home and she started preparing. I said, I'll go over it with you. Just let me know when you're ready and you can pretend I'm a kid and I'll listen. And she contacted me and she said, "I'm ready." So I went to her house and I sat there and she pulled out her notebook and she had 6 pages written of all that she wanted to say. And I thought, ooh, 6 pages. 6 pages, that's just about as long as Dr. Schaefer's messages. I don't know. No. She had a lot to share. And we tried to cut it down a little bit. And the day came for her to give class. And she gave a wonderful message for adults. These kids, they were sitting there and 10 minutes went by, 15, 20, and the kids are still sitting there going,
what is going on? And she's talking and sharing. And it was such a good lesson, such a good message. But the kids were a little lost. Why am I mentioning this to you? I'm mentioning it because Elizabeth took a step of faith and went outside of her comfort zone because she knew God had something for her. She's there at Bible Club now every Tuesday. She serves getting the place ready for all the kids to come, and she's there helping in the kitchen to serve. Her strength isn't necessarily teaching the kids the class, but she has a heart to serve. Everyone has a part in the Great Commission. Everyone has something that they can do to help bring that transformation to the hearts of children, youth, and adults around the world. I wanted to share that with you tonight because Elizabeth is still there. She's still working. She's still going through that process. And I do have faith that one day she is going to be in front of those kids teaching something. We'll see what it is. I wanted to mention to you Taco Tuesday. Tacos. Do you guys like tacos? Okay. Again, those of the kingdom of God like tacos. You guys, I'm not sure. The kingdom of Caesar is a little questionable, and if you don't understand that, come to Bible study in the morning. You'll get it. Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday is a wonderful ministry that we're doing with the kids in our neighborhood, and we're seeing great transformation. I shared some stories this morning. I'd share more with you tonight or during the next 2 days. We're going to be here until Thursday morning. Grab me. I'll be happy to share some more. But I wanted to mention, we do feed the kids, and it costs around $40 to $50 a week to feed them. So if you'd like to give specifically for Taco Tuesday, you can let me know. Mark your check or your gift for Taco Tuesday, Greenwell Ministry Taco Tuesday, so that it goes to the kids. And if you do give to Taco Tuesday, we have some tacos we can give you. Not edible, but you can stick them in your Bible to remember to pray for Taco Tuesday. So I wanted to mention that. And again, our prayer magnets, response card, and information about our ministry is on our table on this side. So thanks again. Don't forget your bottle caps. Well, we're going to be leaving after breakfast on Thursday, so get them to me before then. And now, Efrain has a couple of things to share from the Word of God. Is that all right? I meant the microphone. Okay. No.
Okay. Dios les bendiga.
God bless you guys.
Este. Una vez recibí una historia en el WhatsApp.
Sorry, just a second.
What? Recibí una historia por WhatsApp.
I do pay attention to him, really, I do. It just sometimes, whew. One day, I received a message from WhatsApp. Do you know what WhatsApp is? Okay.
Sí, lo usan aquí, okay. Sí. Okay. Hablaba de un millonario que hizo una fiesta en su casa.
They talked about a millionaire who had a big party at his house.
Sí. Entonces invitó a muchas personas.
So he invited a whole bunch of people.
Y en medio de, dice que la historia que en medio de la fiesta de repente hizo un alto.
And it says the story says in the middle of the party he said, hold it, wait.
Para anunciar a sus invitados.
He wanted to announce to his to his guests. What's the word? Guests.
Y él volteó a su piscina.
He looked at his office,
donde tenía cocodrilos australianos.
And he had some Australian crocodiles.
Y lanzó una invitación a los que estaban con él.
He gave an invitation to those that were with him.
Bueno, dijo, el que se anime o se atreva a aventarse a cruzar a esta piscina donde están los cocodrilos y salga del otro lado, le voy a regalar todos mis autos.
Okay. Let me go back just a minute. He didn't say office, he said pool. That makes a lot more sense. He
de oficina en vez de piscina.
Sylvia, do you want to come up here and translate? Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. The Australian crocodiles were in the pool. And he said, if any of you take a risk and decide to swim across the pool, I will give you all of my cars. Yes.
Creo que ya me ganó el chiste. Okay.
Good.
Entonces, dice el que se anime a cruzar hasta allá, le voy a regalar mis autos, una mansión y mis aviones.
So I'm going to give you all my cars, a mansion, and all of my planes.
Y nadie se atrevía.
But nobody tried.
De repente se escuchó un salto en el agua.
And all of a sudden, they heard somebody jump into the water.
Y un hombre corriendo, bueno, nadando entre los cocodrilos.
And there was a man swimming amongst the crocodiles.
Luchando con la boca de los cocodrilos, con los pies, con las manos.
He was fighting against their mouths with his arms and his legs.
Torciéndole la cola a los cocodrilos.
He was turning their, twisting their tails.
Y entre el terror y el miedo.
And between all that, the terror and the fright,
momentos de pánico,
and some moments of panic,
el hombre logró cruzar la piscina y salir.
The man managed to cross all the way to the other side of the
todo
pool and
aruñado.
Get out. He was all scratched up.
Y después el millonario se acerca a él.
So the millionaire went and approached him.
Para felicitarlo.
He wanted to congratulate him.
Y hacerle entrega de sus autos, de su avión y su mansión.
And give him the cars, the planes, and the
dice, ¿dónde vas a creer que te envíe los autos?
Where do you want me to deliver everything?
Y el hombre dice, no, yo no necesito ningún auto, yo estoy bien.
The man said, I don't need any cars, I'm fine.
Bueno, entonces, ¿dónde quieres que te envíe los aviones?
Where do you want the planes?
Y dice, no, no necesito ningún avión.
I don't need any planes.
Dice, entonces, ¿cómo, a qué nombre puedo escriturar la mansión?
So, what name can I put on the title for the house?
Dice, no, yo no necesito en tu casa, yo tengo una casa y soy feliz en ella.
I don't need your mansion, I have a home and I'm happy in it.
Y el millonario se quedó sorprendido y preguntó, entonces, ¿qué quieres?
So, the millionaire was very surprised and asked, what is it that you want?
Dice, yo lo único que quiero es encontrar a la persona que me lanzó a la piscina.
The only thing I want to find is the person that pushed me into the pool.
La enseñanza de esto es que a veces necesitamos un empujoncito para hacer las cosas.
The lesson behind this story is sometimes we need a push to get us into things.
Creo que cada uno tenemos algo que podemos hacer.
Each one of us has something that we can do.
Pero a veces nos falta un empujón.
But we need a push.
Así que si tú conoces a tu amigo que está a tu lado y conoces un talento, algo de él, empújalo a que se anime.
So if you know that the person next to you, your friend, has something within them to do or to give, give him a little push and help him out.
A mí hoy me aventaron aquí.
They gave me a huge push up here.
No estaba en el programa estar aquí compartiendo.
It wasn't in my plan to be up here and sharing with you.
Era difícil cuando me dijeron nunca he predicado en un campamento acá en los Estados Unidos.
It was a bit difficult for me to understand. I have never been to a family camp and preached there before.
Entonces me siento como ese hombre lanzado a la piscina.
And so I feel a little bit like that man that was pushed into the pool.
Pero sé que servimos a un mismo Dios, entonces eso nos hace hermanos y eso me puede dar la confianza.
But we do serve the same God, and so that gives me a little bit more confidence.
Ayer Wayne. Okay.
Yesterday Wayne
compartió una historia antes de la ofrenda.
Before the offering.
Y es lo que quiero que reflexionemos un poco en esta historia.
And I'd like to go back and look at that story just a little bit.
Está en Juan capítulo 6, versículo 9.
You can find the story in John chapter 6.
Y si recuerdan, habla de un muchacho.
It talks about a young man.
Que estaba en la historia de la alimentación de los 5,000.
That young kid that's in the story of the feeding of the 5,000.
Y no sé, pero pocas veces creo que se habla de los personajes secundarios en las predicaciones.
I don't know, but it seems to me that a lot of people don't really preach about the secondary characters in a story.
Pero traen una gran enseñanza a nuestra vida.
But they do have a huge lesson to give to our lives.
La historia pues no la sabemos y por el tiempo no vamos a meditar en ella, no vamos a profundizar.
I think we know the story, so I'm not going to go through and read it. I'm just going to dive in.
Entonces,
for the sake of time.
Solo este joven aparece ahí.
So this young man, he appears in this crowd.
Y mencionó Wayne algo muy interesante que yo estaba pensando en la mañana de ayer.
And Wayne mentioned yesterday
something
that I was thinking about.
Entonces, ¿por qué la historia de los cocodrilos?
You're probably wondering why the crocodile story.
A veces nosotros necesitamos ser empujados a hacer algo.
Sometimes we need to be pushed to do something.
Necesitamos animarnos a hacer algo por Dios.
We need to be encouraged to do something
para Dios.
For him.
Yo creo que siempre he creído que todos hemos sido dotados de un potencial enorme para impactar al mundo.
I've always believed that we have been given some kind of potential to impact the world.
Creo que Dios nos ha dotado de dones y talentos para administrar.
He's given us gifts and talents that we're to manage, bless you. Manage.
Y la iglesia tiene que impactar al mundo.
And the church needs to impact the world.
Nosotros tenemos que impactar al mundo.
All of us need to impact the world.
Entonces, en la historia que vemos aquí, de repente había una necesidad.
So in this story, all of a sudden there's this need.
Había una multitud que seguía a Jesús.
There is a multitude following Jesus.
Hoy en nuestra actualidad hay una multitud también allá afuera que necesita de Cristo.
Today in our world we see a huge multitude of people outside that need to know about Jesus.
Yo creo que nosotros vivimos rodeados de gente necesitada de Cristo.
I believe we all live with people around us, surrounding us, that need to hear about Jesus.
No sé si te has detenido a observar a tus vecinos.
Have you ever stopped to look at your neighbors?
A tus compañeros de la escuela.
Those that go with you to school.
Compañeros de trabajo.
Those that are at work with you.
Y puedes ver la necesidad que hay de Dios.
You could see the need that they have for Jesus.
Hay jóvenes destruidos por los vicios.
There are youth that are being destroyed because of vices.
Yo puedo ver familias desintegradas.
Families that are falling apart.
Los hijos se van a la calle.
Children that are going out on the streets.
Y la iglesia está callada.
And the church is quiet.
Y la iglesia no impacta.
The church isn't having an impact.
La iglesia, no sé, pero en México a veces hacen esa diferencia. No hacen esa diferencia.
I'm not sure if here, but in Mexico, a lot of times there isn't a difference made between the two groups.
He estado aprendiendo un poco de su cultura.
I've been learning a little bit about your culture.
Este tiempo y me gusta.
These last few months, and I like it.
Pero hablando de la iglesia tiene que impactar allá afuera.
But talking about the church, we need to impact outside.
Y este joven que aparece aquí en esta historia nos trae una enseñanza grande para nosotros.
And this young man in the feeding of the 5,000 has a lesson that should impact us.
A veces nosotros estamos aquí y yo puedo ver tantos talentos en esas bancas.
We're here and I can see all of you and see talents and gifts that you have.
Estos días he visto mucho talento acá arriba.
These past few days I've seen lots of talent appear on the stage.
He visto cosas que Dios ha hecho, testimonios.
I've heard different stories and things that God's done in your lives through your testimonies.
Pero sé que todavía hay mucho más aquí.
But I know there's so much more here.
Que está ahí en la banca.
There's lots of things here in the pews.
Y puedo ver que a veces no nos atrevemos a hablar de Dios allá afuera.
I can see that we don't take risks to talk to people outside these
walls. A veces no nos atrevemos a decir lo que Dios nos puso en nosotros.
We don't dare share what God has put within us.
Porque hay cosas todavía en nuestro ser que necesitan ser liberadas.
But because there are things within our lives that need to be freed.
No quiero poner palabras en la Biblia.
I don't want to put words in the scripture.
Pero vamos a imaginar en esta historia.
But I'd like for us to imagine in this story.
Acerca de este muchacho.
Just about this young man.
Yo puedo ver algunas cualidades que él tenía.
I can see some qualities that he has.
Yo puedo imaginar que él traía una mochila cargada.
I'm imagining that he has a little backpack that he's carrying.
Y puedo ver y la historia nos dice lo que traía.
The Bible passage doesn't say exactly all that he's carrying.
Y hoy Dios nos pregunta, ¿qué traemos en nuestra mochila?
But I can hear God saying, what do you have in your backpack?
¿Qué traes tú en tu mochila?
What do you have in your backpack?
¿Qué es lo que estás cargando ahora?
What are you carrying there today?
Algunos en la iglesia aún todavía cargamos cosas que no edifican.
Many of us within the church are carrying things that really don't build us up.
Cargamos con cosas que no nos ayudan a levantarnos, a brillar allá afuera.
There are things that we have in our backpack that we're carrying that don't help us shine outside these walls.
Una de las cosas que detienen en un ministerio.
One of the things that hold us back in our ministry.
Son los miedos.
Our fears.
Esa cualidad que cargamos, esa ha detenido tantos ministerios dentro de la iglesia.
This fear that we carry stops so many different ministries within the church.
Por miedo nos hemos detenido a hacer cosas.
We've been fearful to do and start different things.
Por miedo a veces no nos atrevemos a desarrollar nuestro ministerio.
For fear we don't dare start a new ministry.
Por miedo no nos atrevemos a tomar decisiones.
For fear we don't make the right decision.
En la mañana les contaba mi historia con Chrissy.
This morning I
les contaba la historia con Chrissy.
I shared the story about Chrissy and myself.
Casi me pierdo este premio.
I almost lost this prize.
Por miedo.
For fear.
Porque tenía miedo al rechazo.
Because I was worried that she would reject me.
Ya estaba ya tenía miedo a lo que pudiera decirme ella.
I was afraid of what she could possibly say.
Y a veces así nosotros en el camino de Dios nos detienen muchos miedos.
And that's what it's like in the walk with our Lord. We stop because of the fears we might feel.
Nos detienen las preocupaciones también.
We are also stopped because of the worries that we have.
Hay mucho talento, hay mucho ministerio dentro de la iglesia que Dios ha puesto.
There are so many talents and gifts that God has placed within the church.
Pero a veces las preocupaciones también no nos dejan desarrollarlo.
But we worry about so many things that we don't develop those gifts.
Pienso en María y en Marta.
I think about Mary and Martha.
Cómo una estaba ahí atenta con Jesús, sirviéndole.
How one was being attentive to Jesus.
Escuchándole.
Listening to him.
Y la otra más preocupada por cómo estaba la casa.
And the other worried about how the house looked.
A veces nos preocupa más cómo estamos.
A lot of times we worry about how we are.
A veces nos preocupa más la apariencia.
About how we look.
Nos preocupa más dónde vivimos.
Where we're living.
Nos preocupa más lo que digan.
We worry more about what people are saying about us.
Y no desarrollamos lo que Dios ha puesto en nosotros.
And we don't develop what God has placed within us.
Hay amarguras.
There's bitterness within our backpack
que hay en nuestra mochila.
It's there, we're carrying it.
Yo no sé qué definición tiene usted para la amargura.
I'm not sure what definition you have for bitterness.
Pero la amargura es un sentimiento de frustración.
But it's a feeling of frustration.
A veces la frustración por no poder hacer algo.
Sometimes it's frustration for not being able to do something.
Por no haber logrado algo.
Or not being able to, or not having accomplished something.
Trae amargura a nuestra vida.
It brings bitterness to our
y no podemos desarrollar un ministerio amargados.
And we can't develop a ministry if we're bitter.
Y dentro de la iglesia no puede haber un cristiano amargado.
And within the church, there shouldn't be bitter Christians.
No veo en la historia de la Biblia alguien que está amargado y predicando de Jesús.
I can't find anywhere in the scriptures a Bible passage where somebody's bitter and preaching about Christ.
Hay falta de perdón en nuestra mochila.
There's a lack of forgiveness within our backpack sometimes.
Cargamos con cosas que del pasado que no hemos podido perdonar a alguien.
We carry things there from our past that we haven't been able to get over.
Muchas veces dentro de la iglesia.
And a lot of times within the church.
A veces la iglesia no camina.
And at times the church doesn't move forward.
A veces la iglesia no avanza porque dentro de la misma iglesia hay fricciones.
The church doesn't move forward because there's conflict within the same member.
Hay sentimientos de indiferencia entre los hermanos.
There's even feelings of indifference between brothers within the church.
Y eso no debe de existir dentro del pueblo de Dios.
And it shouldn't exist within the body of Christ.
No puede existir.
It can't exist.
Otra de las cosas que también cargamos y que no nos dejan ministrar acerca de Dios.
Another item that we carry that prohibits us from showing the gifts that God has given us.
Es el dolor.
Is pain.
A veces el dolor causa, duele, sí duele.
At times it hurts.
Duele una pérdida familiar, duele.
Losing a loved one hurts.
Y a veces cuando llega el dolor a nuestra vida, nuestro ministerio se detiene.
And at times when that pain arrives in our lives, ministry stops.
A veces hasta dejamos de orar porque estamos dolidos.
At times we stop praying because we're hurting so much.
Empezamos a perder la relación con Dios porque hay dolor en nuestro corazón.
We start losing the relationship we're supposed to have or we have with God because of that pain in our heart.
Inclusive podemos dañar a otros también.
And we can even hurt others because of it.
Una persona dolida daña a otra.
A hurt person hurts people.
Y el dolor a veces no nos permite avanzar.
And at times that pain doesn't allow us to move ahead.
Y una muy difícil y que detiene muchos ministerios.
And another item that sadly detains ministry.
Y que el enemigo está ahí como león rugiente.
And the lion of the lion. The enemy is there roaring like a lion.
Deteniendo la iglesia es el pecado.
Stopping the church from moving forward through sin.
El pecado es una enfermedad que ha dañado tanto a la iglesia.
Sin is a sickness that hurts and damages the church.
El pecado es una enfermedad que ha detenido, que ha roto ministerios.
It's a disease that has destroyed ministry.
Que ha destruido pastores.
It's destroyed pastors.
Ha destruido familias dentro de la iglesia.
It's destroyed families within the church.
Ha dividido iglesias.
It's divided churches.
El pecado es terrible cuando está dentro de la iglesia.
Sin is horrible when it exists within the church.
Y cuando hay pecado no podemos compartir libremente de Cristo.
And when there's sin in your life, you cannot share freely about Jesus Christ.
No podemos hablar de Cristo cuando hay pecado en nuestra vida.
We can't share about it when there's sin in our lives.
Entonces es una oportunidad para reflexionar qué tenemos nosotros en nuestra mochila. Ahora vamos a hablar de este muchacho que aparece en la historia. La palabra no dice quién era. Era alguien que estaba entre la multitud. No sabemos si estaba su mamá ahí.
We don't know if his mom was there.
No sabemos por qué estaba.
We don't know why he was there.
Quizás se arrimó, iba entre el montón.
Perhaps he was there just in the
a ver qué sucedía.
Just wanting to see what will happen.
Pero iba preparado con algo.
But he went prepared with something.
Tenía algo dentro de su mochila.
He had something within his backpack.
Y cuando él vio la necesidad que había,
and when he saw the need that existed,
él no pensó dos veces.
He didn't think about it.
Él actuó.
He acted.
Entonces yo puedo ver que era un joven que amaba a Dios.
So I could see that. I can see that he was a young man that loved God.
Yo puedo ver un joven que amaba a la gente.
I could see a young man that loved people.
Yo puedo ver un joven valiente.
I could see a courageous young man.
¿Por qué valiente? Porque se necesitaba valentía para levantar la mano y decir, aquí tengo yo algo.
Why was he courageous? Because he had the valency. Is that a word? I'm creating a word, aren't I? Sorry. Oh, he had the courage to raise up his bag and say, here I have something.
Se necesitaba valentía para a esa edad para levantarse en medio de gente mayor que él para decir, aquí está algo que necesitan.
He had courage to get up in the middle of all of those older people and say, here, I have something.
Nosotros tenemos que ser valientes.
We need to be courageous.
Pienso en David, la valentía de David, un joven.
I think about David and the courage that he had as a youth.
Como él, por defender lo suyo, él peleaba contra fieras.
In order to protect all that belonged to him, he would go against all of the lions, the bears.
Peleó contra un gigante.
He went against Goliath, the giant.
Porque era un joven valiente.
Because he was a courageous young man.
Como este joven que aparece aquí en esta historia.
Just like this young man in the feeding of the 5,000.
Él no se fijó si alguien mayor que él lo iba a quitar la comida.
He didn't wonder if somebody older than he would take his food away.
Él se atrevió a levantarse y a meterse y a
he dared to go get up and move amongst the crowd.
Y llevar lo poco que tenía.
And take the little that he had.
Tenemos que ser valientes y animarnos a sacar lo que tenemos.
We need to be courageous and take whatever it is we have.
Cada uno tenemos algo que tenemos que sacar.
Has something and we need to get it out.
Tenemos que ser valientes.
We need to be valiant.
A mí me daba y me sigue dando un nervio pararme aquí.
I still am kind of nervous about standing here before you.
Pero tengo que sacar la valentía que Dios me dio.
But I need to get out that courage that God has given me.
Yo era un joven bien serio que no hablaba.
I was a very serious young man who didn't talk to anyone.
Entonces no hacía nada en la iglesia.
So I didn't do much in the church.
Pero cuando me armé de valor y saqué lo que Dios había puesto en mí, Dios empezó a no solo a bendecirme, sino a usarme.
But when I realized the courage, the valor that God has given me, I started to act upon it, and God's blessed it.
Pero tuve que tomar una decisión.
But I had to make a decision.
Tuve que ser valiente.
I had to be courageous.
Yo sé que aquí hay muchos valientes.
I know there are many courageous ones here.
Muchos que están sirviendo a Dios.
Many that are serving God.
Y muchos que necesitan también esa valentía.
And many who need that courage.
Para abrir su boca.
In order to open their mouths.
A veces solo nos quedamos con la meditación.
Sometimes we just remain there thinking and thinking.
Pero no llega acá para abrir nuestra boca.
But we don't open our mouth and share.
Yo era uno de ellos.
I was one of those.
Yo podía hablar y hablar y hablar solo en mi casa.
I could talk for a long time by myself.
Pero cuando estaba enfrente de alguien, no abría mi boca.
But when I was in front of somebody else, I wouldn't open my mouth. I wouldn't say a word.
Entonces otra cosa que este joven podía, yo puedo ver, es que era un joven que tenía compasión.
This young man was also full of compassion.
Usted y yo tenemos que tener compasión a la gente.
We need to be compassionate with those around us.
Tenemos que tener compasión de aquellos que están en pecado.
We need to be compassionate with those who are in sin.
Tenemos que tener compasión de aquellos que están heridos.
We need to show compassion with those that are hurt.
Y la compasión es un sentimiento que nos mueve a hacer algo por alguien.
That compassion is something that moves us. It's a feeling that moves us to do something for someone.
Puedo pensar en el samaritano.
I could think of the good Samaritan.
Un hombre que aunque aquella persona no lo podía ver.
He was with a person that he couldn't even see. He couldn't even interact with.
La compasión lo movió a acercarse a aquel judío.
But the compassion that he had moved him towards that Jewish person.
La compasión lo movió a arrimarse a alguien que no lo podía ver.
He was able to approach him because of the compassion that he had.
Y eso es lo que Cristo quiere que nosotros nos movamos por compasión.
And that's what God wants us to do.
Cristo quiere que seamos compasivos con la gente, aun la que nos critica, aun la que no nos puede ver.
We should be moved by compassion to those that we have a hard time interacting with.
Con la gente que aún habla de Dios. Mal de Dios.
Even with the people that talk badly about God.
Que habla mal de la iglesia, nosotros tenemos que tener esa compasión.
With those that talk badly about the church, we need to show them compassion.
Y también podemos ver en este muchacho que tenía empatía.
And this young man also showed empathy.
Él no vio si los demás no traían.
He wasn't paying attention really if others brought any food.
Él vio lo que traía y que podía ayudar a los demás.
He knew what he had and that it could help others.
Él vio lo que traía y que podía hacer una igualdad entre ellos.
He saw that he had something to offer to create equality amongst them all.
La iglesia tiene que tener empatía.
We need to be empathetic with those outside of our church walls.
Sí, hemos leído en Hechos capítulo 2 la historia de la iglesia primitiva.
I read in Acts chapter 2 the story of the primitive church.
Vemos que era una iglesia que tenían una igualdad.
And I see that they lived in equality amongst.
Tenían una comunidad entre ellos, una comunión.
They had a community. They were held all things in
y se preocupaban unos por otros. Se preocupaban unos por otros.
They worried one for another. They were concerned for each other.
Y es lo que la iglesia necesita hoy en día.
And that's what we need today within our church.
Ponernos en el lugar de los demás.
We need to put ourselves in the place of others.
Y una muy importante también es la generosidad.
And another quality that we see is his generosity.
A veces nos cuesta tener esta.
At times it costs us a lot to be generous.
A veces nos cuesta ser generosos.
It costs us to be generous.
Pero como hijos de Dios tenemos que tener esta cualidad.
But as God's children, it's a quality that we need to
ser generosos.
We need to be generous.
Si Dios nos ha bendecido, si está en nuestra posibilidad,
if God has blessed us and it's within our abilities,
hay que ayudar a los demás.
We need to help others.
Podemos ayudar a nuestro vecino.
We can help our neighbor.
Podemos ayudar a nuestro hermano.
We can help our brother.
Podemos ayudar a aquellos que necesitan.
We can help those that are in need.
Veía una historia, una imagen en el Facebook que me impactó de una persona que estaba colgada de un barranco, precipicio.
I was scrolling through Facebook one day and I saw an image of a man holding on to a ledge, a cliff. A cliff. He was on the cliff, holding on for his life.
Y otra persona arriba veía, solo lo veía y decía, voy a estar orando por ti, y se voltea y se va.
And there's another man looking down and said, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and he turns around and walks away.
Y está bien, ¿verdad? La oración, a ver, yo lo he hecho. He dicho, voy a estar orando por ti.
And praying is a good thing, and I know that I've said I'm going to be praying for you.
Pero Dios no quiere que nos quedemos solamente con orar, quiere que si está nuestra posibilidad también ayudar, ayudemos.
But God doesn't want us just to do that. He wants us, if it's within our ability, to help somebody.
A veces hay gente que está sufriendo, necesita un abrazo.
There are people around us that
necesita
are
una palabra.
That might just need a hug or a word.
Necesita compañía.
They might need company.
Y necesitamos actuar.
And we need to act.
No solamente decir, voy a estar orando por ti.
We shouldn't just say, I'll be praying for you.
La iglesia tiene que actuar.
The church needs to act.
La iglesia tiene que checar, revisar qué tiene en su mochila.
The church needs to look at what they have in their backpack.
Hoy nos han hablado mucho, he entendido un poco.
Today we've heard lots of stories and I've understood a little bit.
Nos habló alguien de volver a Dios.
Somebody talked about the need to return to God.
Y nos habló alguien, cantaban un canto hace rato.
There was a song that you sang a little while ago.
Y creo que entendí que decía no tienes que predicar como Pablo.
And I think I understood it said you don't have to preach like Peter.
Pedro, bueno. Mm-hmm. Peter. Es casi igual.
Pray like Paul.
No tenemos que tirar un sermón a la gente.
We don't have to throw a sermon at people.
Nuestro testimonio va a impactar allá afuera.
Our testimony is going to impact those outside.
Porque para mucha gente que está afuera, nosotros somos la única Biblia que va a leer.
For a lot of people, we're the only Bible that they're going to be reading.
Como tú actúes allá afuera con los demás, ellos van a conocer a Dios.
And how you're acting, interacting with people outside of these walls.
O lo van a rechazar.
They're going to know Jesus and accept him or reject him.
La iglesia tiene que impactar hoy en día.
The church needs to make an impact today.
Entonces, yo te animo a que escudriñes ahí tu mochila.
So I want to encourage you to look in your backpacks.
¿Qué hay en ti que te está deteniendo?
What's within you that's holding you back?
¿Qué hay algo que crees que puedes hacer y que por miedo, por temor, por preocupación no lo has hecho?
What is that something that you have within you that you think you can do?
Por pena no lo has hecho.
But you haven't done it because you're embarrassed.
A veces no nos animamos por el qué dirán.
Sometimes we don't do it because we're afraid of what our friends are going to say.
A veces nos sentimos que es tan poca cosa.
Sometimes we think it's just too little. It's insignificant.
Cuando este muchacho sacó los el alimento que traía.
When this young man took out that food that he had.
Andrés dijo, pero ¿qué es esto? Es tan poco, no va a alcanzar.
Andrew said, this is so little, it's not going to reach anywhere.
A veces hay Andrés que vamos a escuchar.
And there are times when we're going to hear Andrews in our life.
Que van a querer desanimarnos.
And they're going to want to discourage us.
Pero tenemos que ser valientes y sacar aquello que Dios nos ha puesto en nosotros.
But we need to be courageous and take out what God's placed within us.
Vamos a ponernos de pie.